2-time WWE Women's Champion, 5-time TNA Knockouts Champion, 1-time TNA Knockouts Tag Team Champions, the 2004 PWI Woman of the Year, ranked number 5 of the top 50 female wrestlers in the PWI Female 50 in 2009. Ladies, gentlemen, my non-binary friends, it is I, Josh Robinson, here for Love Wrestling, and today, it's the legacy of Lisa Marie Varon. Man, oh man, when we talk about the golden era, quote unquote, of the WWE women's division in the early to mid 2000s, it's really easy to talk about a few key names that made that division move at a really nice pace. I think that it's pretty much universally aware and we've universally acknowledged that one of those women is Victoria, Lisa Marie Varon. Victoria came into the WWE on July 7th, 2002 on an episode of Sunday Night Heat, famously in an angle with none other than the top golden child of WWE, Trish Stratus. They had this backstory, that this really elaborate backstory about how they were fitness models together and that Victoria was betrayed by Trish Stratus during that time of being a fitness model, and she's come back to the WWE, followed Trish Stratus here to get her revenge. It's pretty cool to say that you're debuting in not only a WWE Women's Championship angle, not only, dare I say, the only female angle, I'm pretty confident in saying that was the only female angle in the show in 2002 going on. You're feuding with Trish Stratus, who was positioned, and rightfully so, as the head female in World Wrestling Entertainment. So you're in this feud for a few months, and before you know it, you're wrestling on pay-per-view with Trish Stratus. You're not actually gaining the championship in your first match or anything like that, but you're certainly gaining notoriety, and you're gaining a lot of steam and a lot of momentum, where I think in the time, a lot of people wanted to see Victoria with the championship, and within just 4 months of debuting in WWE, she would win the WWE Women's Championship at Survivor Series in 2002 in a hardcore match. Let's just put that out there. This was in a hardcore match, so it's not your typical female kind of work that you would get in WWE at the time. They were able to wrestle in a hardcore match. Trish and Victoria had several hardcore matches, or street fights, whatever you want to call them, within a few months of each other, and to be in that kind of spot is kind of insane in that time. But, you know, I digress. So something I really noticed about Victoria, or Lisa Marie Varon, whatever you want to call her, I would notice something. I would notice something in the sense of her work rate. She was relatively new to the business. She had originally come into WWE as one of Godfather's hoes in 2000, and then she would go into OVW to actually learn how to wrestle. She admitted that she wasn't the biggest wrestling fan growing up or anything like that, or anything like coming into the sense of, I'm going to be a wrestler when I grow up. It just kind of happened. She was in the fitness world, and she did different things, and eventually she said, hey, I think this is something I can really do, and got really good really fast. I'll put it that way. She's always been one that I've noticed with Victoria. She's not afraid to take a bump. She's always in the mindset, at least from a fan's point of view, of making everything better and making everything look really good and as real as possible as you can in professional wrestling. I think Lisa did a really good job of, maybe to a fault, making other people look a lot better than her in the ring. And I think maybe that's sometimes why she doesn't get the recognition that she deserves and has earned in her time in her wrestling career, is because she was so giving in the ring. I think it's really important to note that. She was so giving in her time in professional wrestling. She wrestled for a long time. And it was not often that Victoria, Tara, Lisa Marie, whatever you want to call her, was the number one kind of golden goose, the one that was the kind of centerpiece of everything. She had a few little runs with the WWE Women's Championship throughout her times in 2002 to 2004. Of course, like I said, she would beat Trish Stratus. She would go on to actually be able to work at WrestleMania, WrestleMania 19 in 2003 in a triple threat match. She was able to do some things. She was even able to retain at WrestleMania, which is not something that everybody gets to do. But in 2003, she did that against Jazz and Trish Stratus. So she was able to do different kinds of things. She would work, again, like I said, in multiple street fights and do different kinds of things. She would... It was cool that she was able to do that, and I did misspeak a little earlier. She didn't retain the championship at WrestleMania 19. It was actually Trish Stratus that was able to get the championship. I meant to say she retained a little earlier in their feud in the triple threat stuff with Jazz and Trish Stratus, but she was able to at least go into WrestleMania as champion, I should say. However, she was able to do different kinds of things and work with different kind of women. And in 2003, like, you know, she kind of, you know, things happened. And again, there's only one storyline going on for women usually at the time, and that's not always going to be one person if you're not Trish Stratus or Lita. That's how basically I put it in that time. But, you know, she would eventually actually turn face in 2003, towards the end of 2003. And I don't know, I think even she's noted this, that she did lose a little bit of steam because they kind of took away the thing that was cool about her, which was her craziness. She does crazy better than anybody else. I'll put that on record, is that Victoria did crazy best. She was the original kind of crazy one. I won't say the original, but I think she did it best. She was also able to be the first woman in WWE history, along with Lita, to compete inside the steel cage as a part of Raw Roulette in 2003. Eric Bischoff famously created Raw Roulette on Raw in 2003. And in 2003, the opening contest of Raw was Victoria versus Lita inside the steel cage, and Victoria won that match. So that's kind of nice to see. Yeah, first ever women's steel cage match, and in here's Victoria and Lita. I mean, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool to see. So it would go into 2004, and at the end of 2003 into 2004. Victoria would start, you know, getting the opportunity to work for the Women's Championship again. And before you know it, she was in a program with Molly Holly. Now, famously, this has been said, I believe I said this last week on the show in the Molly Holly episode, is that Molly was told, and I think it was a kind of a well-known thing, that there was only going to be one women's match at WrestleMania 20 in 2004, and that was going to be the lingerie pillow fight. Trish Stratus was doing other things. It was what it was. It just wasn't going to involve the Women's Championship. And Molly famously said, hey, I'm willing to put my hair on the line and shave my head at WrestleMania if that means the Women's Championship would be on the line. And she said that she wanted to work with Victoria. Victoria would gain the Women's Championship in early 2004. And before you know it, she was in a program with Molly Holly in a hair versus championship match. And, you know, I said what I said about Molly Holly on last week's episode here on The Legacy Of, but they were able to do that at WrestleMania 20. So it would go around, and eventually, of course, Victoria would lose the championship in 2004, and that was her last reign as women's champion, which is pretty insane to say considering how long Victoria was actually employed by WWE. After kind of being a little stagnant at the end of 2004 and going into 2005, Victoria was just kind of on the outskirts. She wasn't really doing a lot. There was a lot of times they were focusing more on the models that were coming in from the Diva Search and going into the second Diva Search in 2005, and sort of like swimsuit competitions and fashion shows that Victoria was just kind of in. On the May 30th, 2005 episode of Raw, Victoria participated in yet another swimsuit competition, losing to Christy Hemme. However, Victoria would turn heel in 2005 and attack absolutely everybody in the competition after she lost to Christy Hemme. She attacked Jerry Lawler by kicking him right in the groin, which at that time didn't really... Listen, I'll just say I didn't really find that the worst thing in the world to happen. But she had enough of the attention that was happening with Christy Hemme. She gave her a widow's peak in the center of the ring, and that would start a short feud. They would go into their match at Vengeance, and Victoria actually got the win over Christy Hemme. Now, like I said before, Victoria was very giving in the ring. Another thing that she's stated in multiple episodes of Gore TV and different interviews is that she wanted to work with the new women. That she was like, give me them, I will make them look like absolute stars. And that she did. She made someone who wasn't really familiar and still learning the WWE world, the wrestling craft, was Christy Hemme, and she was able to work like that and get the most out of Christy Hemme that she possibly could. And I think Victoria did a really, really good job. Now, of course, after this heel turn, she famously was in Vince's Devils alongside Tori Wilson and Candice Michelle. They were collectively known first as the Ladies in Pink and later renamed Vince's Devils. They kind of portrayed this different kinds of... they had very different personas, I guess you could say, and Victoria was the enforcer. She was the one that would kind of beat everybody up. They attacked Ashley Massaro, they went after Trish for a little while and did different kinds of things. They had different kinds of matches throughout the time, and, you know, it was what it was. It served its purpose. And... Again, Victoria had a lot of ebbs and flows in her WWE time, and she was always kind of used when necessary, but didn't really do that much. I don't really know how else to say it, and this wasn't a lack of talent, it was just pure lack of other women coming in and being focused on other than Victoria. It was almost like Victoria had her time in the spotlight, and she was no longer going to get that. She did work with Mickie James at the end of 2006. You know... She had that list. That list is everyone, something that everyone remembers with Victoria. She had that, and, you know, she'd go on to lose to Mickie James, and then eventually would go to SmackDown. Didn't really... There was no women's title on SmackDown at the time. It wasn't going to happen. There wasn't a lot happening. Victoria was just kind of, you know, there. She would work with a lot of newer talent, like the infamous debut of the Bella Twins. Victoria would be there with Natalya. She would form a partnership with Natalya. And it just... It was what it was. It wasn't really anything of... It just wasn't... It didn't have a lot of steam behind it. It was just stuff that was happening because it was happening. There was no other way to really describe it. January 16th, 2009, on an episode of SmackDown against Michelle McCool, Victoria would leave WWE. She requested her release with 2 more years remaining on her contract. WWE just said they have no plans for her. She said, "Can I get out of my contract? Can I please be released?" That's what happened, and that was one of the final times we've seen Victoria wrestle inside a WWE ring. She would briefly return for the 25 Diva Miss WrestleMania Battle Royal at WrestleMania 25, but after that, there would only be one other time that she would actually wrestle in WWE. But before we talk about her return to the Royal Rumble in 2021, this past year, we do need to talk about her time in Total Nonstop Action. In 2009, she would debut under the ring name Tara. She would work with the Beautiful People, and she would be able to show the world that she can actually wrestle and actually have a great time in the ring. She was with TNA from 2009 up until 2013, on and off. She did have some different kinds of spells in there. But... You know, she was... That's the thing I'll take away from her TNA run. She was a 5-time Knockouts champion and a 1-time Knockouts tag team champion. She was able to work with people like, I mentioned, the Beautiful People, ODB, Taylor Wilde, Daphne. She was able to work with Awesome Kong, Mickey James, Gail Kim, all these different women she was able to work with in TNA. And she's stated multiple different times, so this isn't breaking news, but she said that it made her appreciate WWE a lot more, the way that TNA was... The way TNA operated and her relationships with, let's just say, upper management in TNA. But I won't spend too much time on TNA, just a pure interest of time. But one thing that I will note from TNA is that while she was able to show her that she could wrestle in WWE, especially in her first couple of years, there is a lot of constraints on WWE, especially at that time. So she was able to actually go out there and prove that she could do it, and she could have some really kick-ass matches and a lot of different stipulations like Falls Count Anywhere and Steel Cage and all these other things that she was able to do in TNA. So I think that's the thing that I can take away most from her TNA run, is that she was able to show that she could work and work with a long list of different women throughout that time. She was placed in different kinds of angles with different kinds of people. She was babyface, she was heel. You know the story of her in TNA, but you know, she would eventually come to an end in 2013. Again, 5-time Knockouts champion, a 1-time Knockouts tag team champion. She was able to show the world what she could do, and I think that's really important. She would work on the independent circuit before, and you know, she did a lot of things on the independent circuit, but she had stated, she said on Gore TV and in multiple different interviews that, hey, you know, there has to be a time where you compete in your last match. And she just said, I can't keep going at the moment. She wants the fans to remember her for what she wants to be remembered in a positive light, not someone that was like, you know, run down and beaten up in the ring. She would officially wrestle her retirement match in 2019. She would beat Melina, one of her longtime rivals throughout WWE, and was able to do different things. And it was really cool to see Victoria, Lisa, whatever you want to call her, Tara, whatever you want to call her, end her career on her terms and in a light where she really appreciated it. Of course, in 2021 at the Royal Rumble, the 10th entrant in the Women's Royal Rumble was Victoria. For the first time in 11 years, she was able to come back and be in front of the WWE Universe again in a really cool moment. I know it was in the Thunderdome. I would have loved to happen in front of a crowd, in front of a real crowd. But, you know, it was still really cool to see Victoria in that light, and you could just tell she was so happy. Again, I love watching Gore TV and watching Lisa just talk about how happy she was in that moment to get that call. And it was just really cool because you don't know when it's going to be the last time that you're going to be out in the ring, and she stated that it might be her last time in the ring. So she was really happy to get that experience and just get a lot of love and love from us, because I think it's really important that us as fans highlight maybe what companies don't. And she is a pioneer of women's wrestling and someone who was just so damn good at what they did. And I think someone who deserves all of the love and all of the accolades that she has earned and rightfully deserves. So big love to Lisa Marie Varon. Guys, I know you aren't used to seeing my face here on The Legacy Of. You're used to hearing my voice, used to seeing pictures of the lovely talent that we talk about here on the series. But I thought, since it is the season finale of The Legacy Of, I would pop in here at the end to say hello and to kind of wrap up the season in the only way that I feel is necessary. So first and foremost, as per usual, please let me know what you think about Lisa Marie in the comments below. Tell me all about it. I want to hear all about her. Like, share, subscribe, all that good stuff. Ring the bell for notifications. You can find all of my links and Love Wrestling links in the description box below. I just wanted to quickly get on here. I won't take up too much time and just say thank you for all the love in these 20 plus episodes that we've done here on Love Wrestling for The Legacy Of. It has been wild. I've never had content like this that's gotten as much love and as much attention as this series. So first and foremost, I want to say thank you to every single person that's taken the time to watch one episode, all the episodes, two episodes. It doesn't matter to me. The fact that you've watched at all is really, really, really special. Thank you for sharing and for me being so annoying, pushing all of these things on Twitter and on social media, and for you guys just sharing the message and the word that I'm making something that I consider to be pretty damn cool, focusing mainly on females in this business and just doing really cool stuff. So I just wanted to say thank you. I want to say thank you to Love Wrestling for allowing me the space and the platform to be able to do this. So Spencer, I know you're watching. Thank you very much for doing allowing me to have this platform and be as creatively free as I can. I'll let you guys in that Spencer is in. I've got, as everyone knows, Spencer is the man behind Love Wrestling. He's the one that kind of keeps the ship moving, but he also does not put any restraints on any of us for what we want to do. And never once has Spencer stepped in and said, you can't do this, or I want you to do this. Spencer lets me be me and to do what I want to do. So thank you to that. This is the last episode of the year. Season 2 is looking to launch in January of 2022. So for the next couple of months, you won't be getting a Legacy Of. Now, that doesn't mean you won't be getting any content from me here on Love Wrestling. I still do have a few little things that I'm going to do in between the time that this ends and we get Season 2. Now, Season 2, what's that going to look like? We're going to be doing some different things. I'm going to be doing some other different kinds of projects here on The Legacy Of, but the core will stay the same, but you might just see some updated things and just a little bit more. you're just going to be getting more from me, and this series is only going to go up. So if you think that season one was any indication of where we're going, well, I just have to let you know that it's going up and up and up, and I have many different plans for what I want to do with the season. But thank you so much for all the love and everything that you guys have given me for the legacy of. I only make this show if people are going to listen and watch, and you guys have. So it just really means a lot to me personally. So thank you very much. I guess this is the bit where I sign off. For the last time in 2021, thank you for listening to The Legacy Of. We'll see you in 2022. Until then, much love to you all. My name is Josh Robinson, signing off for Love Wrestling. Peace out.